about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated, yes,
to our favorite shows.
All my circuits.
Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Scary Dog.
Larson at Blurnville.
Futurama.
Good evening. You are listening to a Rattlegem Broadcasting premiere podcast TV party tonight. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And it's WrestleMania week, which started in earnest on Saturday, as a matter of fact. The Podsman and I did a show reviewing Ed Cannell's Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia, and Ed Cannell was actually on that show, and that's up in the archives now. And then we re-released our In Defense of the Ultimate Warrior from the archives on WrestleMania Night 2. That's fun. And now we've got all the reviews. We had so much wrestling content this past week. We're going to review Effie's Big Gay Brunch, Joey Janela's Spring Break. We're no, none of that? All right.
Hold on here. Wait a minute.
What now? What's that? No, no.
Are either of those guys the mustache guy who has the penis druids?
Listen, John Moxley confronted Nick Gage at Joey Janela's Spring Break and challenged him for, I guess it's the GCW title, because he had just beaten Ricky Shane Page. If I'm in Christian's mind right now, he's like, I don't know what he's saying. That's all gibberish words. I think I might have gotten Moxley.
I'm not sure if it's English. Well, if it's Moxley, I just pictured a guy crying that he's not being treated well. Let me win, even though I suck.
Oh, listeners, those are the Podsmen. First, that one doing an impression of John Moxley, who not only showed up at Joey Janela's Spring Break. Jelly Nutella, as Jim Cornette calls him. To face off against Nick Gage at a future GCW event, but he also main evented and lost to Josh Barnett at Bloodsport 6. He saw none of those things and barely knows what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Cosmic Treadmill and X-Lapsed and from Claremont to Claremont, Christian, how do you do, sir?
You know, when I was a kid, I had a G.I. Joe Wrestling Federation that I called GCW. And I would reckon that the title belt that I had that was printed out on paper is probably worth more than the actual title for GCW, especially if Moxley is in contention for it. It's got more legitimacy that Shipwreck and Gung Ho held it.
How so often did you put the title on Slaughter?
Slaughter, you know, I had Slaughter turn heel. I had to... Because, you know, I had to, like, just swerve the marks here. The dirt sheets in my other room were saying that Slaughter was going to come in and just take the title, so I had to swerve them. And had him turn heel. I had him join up with Headman. You remember Headman, the gangster guy?
Vaguely.
Oh, man, it was a wild ride here. A wild ride.
You should have sent in your cards and your money and gotten the William the Refrigerator Perry figure and then put
little
the title
before
on
my
him.
Time, unfortunately. A little bit. My time. I did have Serpentor, of course.
Of course.
He's still somewhere. But, yeah, it was William the Refrigerator Perry is just a little bit before my time. And I was really, really psyched when they released that weird Roddy Piper action figure as, like, part of the Iron Grenadiers or whatever. That's one that, like, I think they only made, like, 8 of. So, like, it's worth hundreds of dollars. So I never got that one.
Perfect. All right, and joining us also from our Canadian audience... Ladies and gentlemen, he more knew what I was talking about than Christian, but less wanted to talk about it. From the Superblog team up and the Superhero Satellite, it's Chris Bailey. Chris Bailey, Chris Bailey, how do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
Well, Mark, I heard that John Moxley actually tried to show up on this podcast. He's trying to intervene everywhere, but we said no. Christian shut him down and said, no, John Moxley, enough of your whoring yourself out to every single soul. I heard he's attending a kid's birthday party to take that title today as well.
For God's sakes, John, you are a WWE champion. You don't need to show up at all the mud shows, all of them.
It's like he's in a white van circling anywhere that would put off a wrestling show just so he can show up there. I'm just saying.
Well, lucky
he's
for him,
the
they were
Wings tournament too.
Lucky for him, the collective, as it's known, had 107 different shows, all in the Tampa area, all in the same parking lot, I think, in Ybor City.
I would bet now after that conversation, he's literally trying to roll up a Sergeant Slaughter action figure to take Sheehan's belt.
Good luck, Moxley. Good luck. He's got the slaughter bomb, a move that I created for him. So you look out.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. So our expansive review of The Collective starts now with Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. like the name on the podcast says, we are in fact talking about NXT TakeOver Nights 1 and 2. But before we do that, I just want to quick, I watched it. I did the homework. I want to talk about NXT UK Prelude. It was a 1 hour episode, special episode of NXT UK. Yep, that's still a thing.
There's still, I was going to say, I didn't know that was, I thought they were all sex perverts and they closed it down.
They threw out the sex perverts and it's just okay. Walter and a handful of other people now.
So Walter and people that he slaps a lot.
Yes, Walter and meat
that
he
beats. Sounds great. That actually sounds great.
It was. It does. Walter right now might be the best current professional wrestler on
God's
going.
Green.
Yeah, sure.
No.
All the belts on him.
Every match Walter's in is perfect.
Stop.
What do you mean stop? Why are you saying it that way? Why are you saying stop?
Stop it, man. That's what my kid says. Dad, like when I do something embarrassing. Dad, stop. God.
All right, so let's quick get through this so we can get to NXT TakeOver, then Chris can go back to work. Chris Bailey, that is. All right, so...
I don't do anything.
We started off with the Heritage Cup number one contenders match, Tyler Bate versus Noam Dar. This was... it goes in rounds, the way that this works. It's like old style wrestling rules where there's rounds, and you have to win 2 out of 3 falls, and Tyler Bates did. 2 falls to 1 against Noam Dar. Good match. Tyler Bate, you know, as Jim Cornette would say, he is painfully small, but he also is an awesome wrestler. Everything he does looks real. Everything he does has great sound and great effect, and it looks like he's really messing people up. The problem is he's the size of a 10-year-old, so like he looks wide and beefy, but you know he's a member of the Lollipop Guild, and it just doesn't work. But we love you, Tyler Bates, and your midget wrestling.
Is he the guy with the beard, but they always call him Mustache or something?
He was in a tag team with Svengoolie or whatever the fuck his name was. Mustache.
That's a heavy dude.
Yeah.
But they both had beards, right?
Yes, and they've been in long mustaches, and they were Mustache Mountain.
Trent Seven.
That's
him, yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Svengoolie? Because every Saturday night I'm reminded that that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Dave, stop. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, the next match was Miki Satomura, the only Japanese woman that isn't currently in AEW and NXT, apparently. Amelia McKenzie took on Kaylee Ray, who is the current women's NXT UK champion, and Isla Dawn. This was fine. This was inoffensive. The site that I'm looking at gave it a 2.7, you know, 2 3/4 stars. Yeah, you know. Again, competent
two
match.
2 3/4 stars.
Yeah, 2 3/4.
You fucking... What? 2 7/8 stars. Get the fuck... Stop it.
Just not all the way to 3, Chris. Get your head around it.
I'm working on it. I'm zeroing in to raise this fucking star rating. Jesus.
I'm
going
to need you to just say you hate the internet wrestling community so we can move this podcast on. Go.
How many times do you want me to say it?
Just once.
I hate the internet wrestling community.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right, and one of the best matches of the weekend.
I hate them 5 times more in the Tokyo Dome.
probably better than anything on WrestleMania, and just as good as some of the stuff on NXT. Definitely Night 2. On NXT TakeOver, which we'll talk about momentarily. The United Kingdom champion, Walter, took on Rampage Brown.
My God, what a generic name. Rampage Brown.
Well, he can't just go with Rampage. There's already a guy called Rampage. He's Mr. Pink.
But Rampage Brown. Holy anyway, moving forward.
He was as that Aki Man's tag team partner in WCW Revenge, right?
As opposed to Rampage Black or Rampage Purple or Rampage Blue. despite his apparently very generic name, Rampage and Walter had a great match. Walter, again, just makes... We always talk about how a lot of modern wrestling stretches credulity a lot. Nothing Walter does... it's amazing. He has such great matches. His matches earlier in the year, late last year, I guess, whenever it was, against... it was around... October of last year. against Draganovich or whatever the hell his name is, the small Russian dude that you know that Dragunov? Got rave. That's the one. That got rave reviews. We're going to talk in a moment about Walter and Ciampa, which got rave reviews. Everything Walter does is just fucking phenomenal. And it's a shame, like, when they had him the one time on Survivor Series, he got, like, buried in that match as eliminated immediately because he's one of the best wrestlers going. Anyway, this was a really good match.
Did he beat Porkchop Brown with a chop?
I don't know if it was with a chop, but they definitely slapped each other a lot.
Slapping meat.
exactly.
On the cock.
All right, so the last paragraph of this is, as Walter always does in matches, he figured out a way to bounce back using his unique offense of chops and smashing overall maneuvers to get back on even footing. Perhaps the move of the match was when Brown hit a power slam on Walter from the top rope, but it was still not enough. Brown would hit his signature pump handle powerbomb, but the champion had his instincts kick in, rolled towards the rope, not allowing for the challenger to get the pinfall. The match came to a close when Walter hit a second powerbomb, which Brown kicked out of and followed up with a big splash. Yeah, when Walter comes off that top rope, it's lights out, man. That's the moon crashing in on the planet. Yikes. Followed up with a big splash from the top rope for the win. So that's NXT UK Prelude. A good hour of wrestling.
3 7/16 stars.
Perfect. I enjoyed watching it. If you guys get a chance when we're done here at some point, it's worth an hour of your time to sit on the cock and watch. All right. Speaking of sitting on the cock and watching, let's get over to NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver.
James Almost?
Yeah, I was going to say, why stand and what does this have to do with teaching Mexicans math?
Because they don't want you sitting and delivering. You need to stand to deliver, Mark.
You need the wide hips. Yeah.
I guess they couldn't if this had been normal times and they had had it, let's say at the Amelie in Tampa where the Lightning play, it would have been NXT TakeOver Tampa or Tampa Bay. But because this was done at the Capitol Wrestling Center, you know, much like when they did In Your House and Vengeance Day, they have to come up with these cute little titles now for takeovers because they're not touring. So they went with Stand and Deliver because you're showing up the main roster that's at Raymond James Stadium. You're standing and you're delivering, I guess, is the mentality.
I tell you
there.
One thing. When I deliver, I like to stand when I'm delivering.
That's true. Okay?
Well, like you fit in fine. Yeah.
Well, I prefer to be on my back, but whatever.
Wait a minute here.
Will you stop? All right.
Will you stop?
So I didn't watch the pre-show match, Zoe Stark versus Toni Storm, because I didn't realize there was a pre-show.
I watched it. Good, lucky for you.
Oh, okay. So Chris Bailey, Zoe Stark versus Toni Storm, because I didn't know it was happening. Go.
So Zoe Stark gets the win over the unbelievably, I would like to see the win-loss record of Toni Storm since she's come back to NXT, because I'm not really sure, save one match on NXT against a jobber, I don't know if she's won anything. Every single main event match she's been in against Io Shirai, she's lost. She lost this one again against up-and-comer Zoe Stark, and I mean, I would call it a decent match. Zoe Stark is someone that they are pushing to the flipping moon. And I think there's a lot there. So you got a lot of good offense from her. She looked a lot smoother than normal in the ring, because if you've seen Zoe Stark's initial matches, there's a little bit of hesitation there, lack of delivery on some of the moves. This one was crisp. I think she was in the ring there with the worker and Toni Storm, and they delivered the goods, and she got the upset win for, to kick off this pre-show. And it was, I think, a good way to start.
All right, I'd like to... Mark Radulich from the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, I have questions.
Okay.
Was Zoe Stark anybody before she was in NXT? Like, did she come from the indies with a name like, John Morrison's wife?
The way that they are pushing this woman, I'm not really sure where she came from. It's the first time I've had the privilege of seeing the girl on TV, but man, every chance they get, you see a picture of Triple H or Steven Regal out there, touting her as the next big thing, and not really sure, but I guarantee you there's dollar signs around this lady for some reason, and I'm not really sure what's there. Yeah,
I
go ahead.
I might be able to help you. Zoe Stark is an Australian actress who played Sheena Wilson on the Australian soap opera Neighbours in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2005, and 2006. Stark also appeared in two episodes of Blue Healers as Katya in 2003. So this is definitely the same person.
Was she muscling people around on said soap opera?
I don't know. She's just she's here sitting at a table. So that might be her gimmick. I don't know.
So I will say this, that she has no Wikipedia link. I don't know. I'd have to do some
Lacey
digging.
Lacey Ryan is what she used to be known as.
Okay.
She's been wrestling since 2013.
Oh, wow.
And she went through Impact to 2019 to 2020.
Oh, that explains it. She's an Impact.
Yeah, she debuted on Impact on November 23rd on Explosion, losing to Taya Valkyrie. And then she lost to Kira Hogan on March 17th, so of the following year. So, yeah, she's been kind of around, I guess.
Okay.
And you know what? She interfered with Tony Storm from going to McDonald's again. So, I mean, that was an upset.
Hey-o.
Yeah, all right. So now I understand why they're pushing this random, you know, average blonde-looking woman, because she's one of the Impact refugees. Got it. All right, we kick off NXT TakeOver Night 1 proper with Pete Dunne versus Kushida. And this one was 10 minutes and 39 seconds. This was, I thought, a good way to start off. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like wrestling that looks like wrestling. I like, you know, when there's a lot of grappling involved, a lot of submissions. You know, I like it when it's more catch-as-catch-can. Or I like the other, complete other side of the pendulum when it's just, you know, them falling into barbed wire and whatnot. The average blah wrestling doesn't really appeal to me, so I like this match. I like Pete Dunne versus Kushida. People were reacting to this, Bailey, like Kushida got buried in this match. I mean, they've been pushing Pete Dunne for a while. They've been pushing Kushida on TV for a while. That's what we want to see. Two guys kind of pushed evenly with both getting wins, and then they fight each other, and whoever wins is, you know, the winner. I don't understand what people had a problem with this match for, Bailey.
Man, this was a statement win by Pete Dunne, because the last, like, 2 to 3 minutes of this entire match was all Pete Dunne. I mean, he was cracking fingers, he was break-stepping on hands, he was doing it all, and he literally just put Kushida away. Now, Kushida, one of the things that really, really strikes me as funny is he came in with such, you know, hype behind a guy. And just to see him just, you know, dismantled, fingers cracked, kicked around, he never really got to get into, you know, third gear here. He was just marginalized here against Pete Dunne. And I was kind of surprised how this ended. I mean, he really took him to the cleaners, and Pete Dunne just came away with a super clean, established win. And it just blew my mind, to be quite honest with you. And it feels like a end of contract type of situation here for Kushida. And I'm not really sure his contract status, but if I was a betting man, it's coming up soon.
Sheehan, what'd you think of Pete Dunne? I know you're not a huge Pete Dunne fan, and I'm not really sure where you stand with Kushida, but what'd you think of the match?
I like Pete Dunne. I just think he looks like a potato. I don't have a problem with him.
He does.
But he does very much look like a potato. But Andrea Ripley. But,
a very orange potato.
Andrea Ripley. But you just talked about the burial of Kushida, which is another reason why I'm not a fan of the internet wrestling community, because the only language they know is hyperbole. And it's unfortunate because we can't have anybody lose anymore without people crying that we need justice for insert name here. And and they're being buried. Yeah, justice for Naomi, even though she shows up 3 months out of the year and gets a WrestleMania payday every time. She makes a dramatic return at the Rumble and then fucks off after WrestleMania, after making the money for the year. Justice for them. But I think Kushida, I don't ever see him being a champion. At least the main champion of NXT, I think he's in the role of an upper mid-card babyface, which is probably where he should be. He lost to Pete Dunne, who they're obviously building, and Pete Dunne is someone worth building. I think he's probably, out of the two, he has more of an upside. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy who they just haven't had for a little while. You know, I hate to evoke the name Benoit, but I mean, it's like he's in that mold, sort of, you know, where he could dismantle you, and he can work a body part. He could just be that guy who is formidable at any level. You put him in the ring against anybody, and it's like a ooh shit sort of moment, because at any time he can snap you into something. So him winning here, I don't think it's a burial of Kushida at all. I think this is very, very smart booking, uncharacteristically smart booking, that they built both of these guys up over the past few months and they had them clash. I don't know what the story was because I haven't been watching the main show, but decent enough match. Pete Dunne stepping on, he did that thing where he had like Kushida's wrist like pressed into the mat with the elbow up in there and he stomped on it. God damn, I thought it was legit. I'm like, this dude's gonna have one wing for the rest of his life. He's fucking him up permanently. Totally.
What's funny about the action here is that they were doing these big moves off the top rope, and when they'd land, Pete Dunne was cracking fingers. You know what I mean? Like, they were falling into finger cracks. Yep. It was hilarious.
Exactly. So I thought this was a fine match. I think the right guy won. I don't think either guy came out of this looking worse. I think they both came out of it looking better. So no complaints. Very good way to start the show.
My only thing I'm going to say about this is I like Pete Dunne when he summons Arn Anderson. Pete Dunne as the main star doesn't really work for me.
He'll never be that boring.
Oh, shut your mouth, son.
Oh, Arn is boring.
Next up is a 6-man gauntlet eliminator match. Winner receives an NXT American North American Championship match on night 2 against Johnny Gargano.
Now let's talk about burials.
So this was Bronson Reed, who's been getting a halfway decent push. Isaiah Swerve Scott, who was a face and I guess is now a heel. Cameron Grimes, who spent most of the fall in a Scooby-Doo type feud with Dextrucity.
Sex pervert.
Yeah, sex pervert. LA Knight, who was a sneaker. The aforementioned Dextrucity. and all 30 pounds of Leon Ruff, who I thought they brought in just to get Johnny Gargano over, that he could, you know, that, you know, they'd get him. That basically, I thought he was there to serve as an instrument.
A James Ellsworth or something?
Yeah, for like Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest, but apparently he's a thing. And
he was surrogate Bad Bunny. He was preparing Damian Priest for the Bad Bunny role. So, yeah. You know, Ruff played that role so he could prepare for the big stage.
I feel like Leon Ruff gets a push because they're all very sorry about what happened to Leo Rush. They were like, oh, Leo Rush is on the and ACH.
They're trying to confuse people.
They're like, well, we have these diminutive black guys that are now on the indie mud show circuit screaming about how racist the WWE is. Let's push a small black guy. Okay. And Leon Ruff. Anyway, boy, they have done a lot of these 6-man gauntlet, or 6-man ladder match type things in NXT. And I remember when that used to be like Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong. You know, they had some Matt Riddle, Keith Lee. He's fat. They used to have some really great guys involved in these 6-man matches, and it was like, wow, it's 6 up and coming stars, just amazing
names.
Guys. Yeah. Whew. This is like the time in the 90s where Jim Cornette was like, oh, let's get some guys that are good workers T.L. Hopper. You knew exactly where I was going. It was like, here,
Floyd.
Yeah, it was like, this is that group of guys and sneaker person, L.A. Knight.
Mm-hmm. Jesus L.A. Gear, Christ. British Knight,
yep. I could not care less about who won this match. I was kind of pulling for Cameron Grimes because now that he's doing the hillbilly million-dollar man gimmick, I think it's kind of funny. And, you know, his video is super gay, which is hilarious.
Very erotic, yeah.
Very. Just erotic, naked, covered in dollar bills. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. But I don't give a shit about Bronson Reed. I fast-forward through all of Isaiah Swerve Scott's matches. Bailey's going to tell me about the greatness of British Knight. The only one in here that I kind of care about is Dexter Lumis because he's halfway a horror character. But even here, it was like, meh. So Bronson Reed, because, you know, we just signed and made a big deal about the guy who they're calling LA Knight from Impact, and yeah, let's get him. Let's make sure we pin him nice and early.
Mm-hmm. And what are they doing? Can somebody stop this booking of LA Knight?
I don't understand why, if the plan was we need someone for Johnny Gargano, why they didn't do Johnny Gargano LA Knight? Why they went with Bronson Reed only to then make him lose the following night in a blah match.
Mark,
it's like they're preemptively.
This is another case. Like a lot of people criticize WWE. Oh, they're not pushing me. Yeah, they're not pushing my favorite guy. But then you blow that case up of being, you know, just a snotty, you know, internet community and all that stuff, getting their panties in a bunch. But then you got LA Knight, who is not only a sneaker, but one of the top prospects on the indies. And all you do, like, you go out of your way to put this guy under. The guy can talk. He's marginally much better in the ring than a lot of the competitors that there. He's got a look, and he's already got a buzz about him. And every single opportunity you get, you make him lose. And it baffles me. For Bronson Reed, for fuck's sake. Bronson Reed, wrap your head around it. Horrible.
I'm gonna let Sheehan talk, because we all kind of talked over him, and he had something to say here. But I want to say this, and then I'm kind of done talking about this match. The story here should have been Austin. First of all, take either Leon Ruff or Isaiah Swerve out of this match. They were useless. In fact, take Leon Ruff out and put Austin Theory in there. And his job is to make sure nobody wins, because he's then going, you know, because he's in the way.
Hey, that would be story.
I know. So he's in there, and he's there to make sure nobody gets to face Johnny Gargano except him, and then he'll take the pin because he's in the way and he's Johnny Gargano's goon. See, and then it comes down to Austin Theory and Dexter Lumis, and it's like anyone but him, and nope, Dexter Lumis puts him through the mat, and we have Dexter Lumis, the scary horror monster, versus Johnny Gargano. And then we do that match, and then Johnny Gargano actually has a threat to him that they've been kind of playing with over the last couple of months. I want to say the last pay-per-view, maybe even before that, around that time, they were doing stuff with Johnny Gargano and Dexter
Lumis.
New Year's
Evil. Yep.
Yeah. And then it just went away. Like, why can't we go back to that again? Like, oh no, I thought I was done with this guy. He's back again. Why? Bronson Reed didn't need any of this, and nobody gives a shit about any of the rest of these guys. And Cameron Grimes is a comedy character. Sheehan, the floor is yours.
I was going to say, it feels like with British Knight there, they're preemptively humbling him. We always hear those stories about how it's like, oh, well, this guy's, he's going up too quick. We gotta make sure he can take the heat. So let's humble him. And it's like, dude just barely walked in the door, and it's like, well, fuck you. You're going to lose.
But it's damaging to the entire product. Like, it's not helping anybody.
It doesn't help anybody. It makes him look like a goober. It makes the entire NXT look like shit and stale as hell. But this match is, I think Mark hit it on the head here. This is 95 WWF, you know, with these crazy, weird characters who just come in to, like, bolster the old-timers who are still sticking around and the guys that they really want to push. So, like, the Ciampas and Garganos, who are never, ever going to leave, can still be the top guys. We fill the rest of it up with Leon Ruff, Isaiah Jizz Scott, and Thick Boy. I mean, this is really, really bad here. I'm right there with Mark. I think Dexter Lumis should have won this, because he's the only one who would have been someone that Gargano would have been like, oh crap, you know, he would have been freaking out about. I don't know what the fascination with Bronson Reed is. When I saw him for the first time, I'm like, I hate this guy, so they're gonna push him. And sure as shit, they pushed him. So we're stuck with him. The match itself, as little as I care for Jizz Scott, I think he did a pretty decent job here. Just being kind of like a ping pong ball and always kind of in the mix, like interrupting, you know, like getting on top of dudes and just being there, a perfectly good, Smaz sort of a fill-in guy here. As soon as LA Knight was taken out, I stopped caring. I was just like, fuck it. Because I think he pinned Dexter, right? I think LA Knight pinned, like, rolled up Dexter, yes, and got like a fluke win. And then like 2 seconds later, Jizz pinned Knight. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't give a shit anymore. And then I saw the remaining field, and it's like, okay, they're going to give it to Thick Boy, and sure as shit, they did.
I mean, are they trying to do something in the New Zealand, Australia area? Like, I get why they push the Indian characters, because they're trying to make inroads there. I get why they push the Asian characters; they're trying to push, make inroads there. Like, are they, is there something happening in Australia and New Zealand we don't know about? You know, they're like, look, we need stars there. Rhea Ripley, Bronson Reed, we need Australians to like us now. So push those people. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it, Bailey. I don't get it.
I don't either, man. The Bronson Reed experiment is bothering because, I mean, you look at the talent that's in here. You got Dexter Lumis, who I think will be a star on the main roster hopefully sooner than later. You got Cameron Grimes, who I really, really like. I mean, I know he's never going to be your guy at the end of the night at WrestleMania holding the Daniel Bryan position or nothing, but the guy has good matches in the ring. Isaiah Swerve Scott, I just don't see anything in that guy. I mean, yeah, you know what, competent wrestler, just, you know, putting guys over. And, of course, LA Knight, who I'm very high on, but apparently NXT is not, and you give it to Bronson Reed. And then you get to night two, which we'll talk a little bit about it, and it just feels like it was for no reason whatsoever that this entire match existed. So it felt like, when you know what happens on night two, it feels like a complete and utter waste of time with this talent here. You got, it's bursting with up-and-comers. And
potential.
It's just nuts. Yeah.
All right, so for those of you listening, they're like, wow, they're just shitting all over my favorite promotion. I don't understand it. Well,
we're not talking about AEW.
Well, here's where I take off my pants and gush. Just gush all over this next match. Walter versus Ciampa was one of the best matches of the entire stream. Gushing stream. Of the entire stream of WWE content from last Monday to Sunday last night. As we're recording this on a Monday afternoon, Walter versus Ciampa was fucking fantastic. This went 17 minutes long, just about. And Walt, you know, like, Ciampa is NXT until he decides he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, and I get that. And so it's like, well, what do we do with him? And they have Walter. He's, like, you know, you look at him, he just kind of looks like a blah guy. You know, he's black trunks, kind of a big dude. But then you see him wrestle, and if, like, you're a real wrestling fan, he's amazing. He's so good. Yeah. Like, and I said this before, but for all the complaining we do about how stupid wrestling is, you know, and how a lot of the shit looks super fake, and they're clearly cooperating with other, everyone who wrestles Walter is either made to or genuinely rises to the occasion of making it look like a real wrestling match. Like, it's a real fight happening.
A fight. Yeah.
Walter is legit, and he had the perfect partner in Tommaso Ciampa, who really turned it up a notch, because Ciampa's matches lately have been average to okay, but this one, man, this is like pre-injury Ciampa. These two messed each other up, and this was 17 minutes of just amazing wrestling, Bailey. I loved it.
Yeah, man, listen, you're right on the money. It was definitely one of the highlights of the entire week, to be quite honest with you. And if you're looking for a hard-fought, strong style, just like two guys beating the crap out of each other, this is your match. Because, I mean, one thing you'll say about Walter, he lays stuff in. And I tell you what, Ciampa was there to receive every single bit of it and fired back as well. So one of the strengths of Walter is not only his delivery, but, man, he can take a beating too. And was this the match... And I think this was the one match, the only downfall that I can see. Was this the one where Ciampa ran the ropes about 500 times to give him a clothesline in the... Was that this match? He kept going back and back and back and back and back, clotheslining and clotheslining.
I feel like it was, Sheehan. Do you recall?
I think so. But I think I was so lost in the match, I didn't even notice.
I really, really didn't like that, but I tell you what. Man, I even love the chop finish. So just the fact that this guy can hit so hard, he can just put you away with a single shot to the chest. I love it. And, you know, I'm the guy who makes fun of, I never want to see anybody beat anybody else with just a boot to the face or a knee to the head. Fuck it. I like the chop. I love it. This match was really good, really strong, man. Really, really enjoyed it. Exactly what I wanted. Should have been in that main event slot, honestly.
Definitely.
No, I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why when we get there. But everything else, 99%.
The match that did main event this entire show, or main event the two nights, didn't deserve to be there. That's all I'll tell you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if it was the main event of the first night, I would have slept through it, so it's a good thing it wasn't. This was a wonderful match here. It just makes me want to see as much Walter as I possibly can here. And now, after WrestleMania Night 1, I want to see him versus Bianca Belair. because I think they can chop each other pretty good.
Can you imagine Walter chopping Bianca Belair? Like one nice chop.
And then her whipping her hair at him.
I'm open. Did you see the? We're talking about this tomorrow more, but did you see the gash on Sasha Banks?
Took it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's going to sting in the shower. God damn.
Oh, my God. What is your name, Sasha Banks?
Oh, yeah. But no, this was a great match. This was probably my favorite match, or one of my favorite matches of the entire weekend. So very, very happy with it. Can't really say anything that you guys didn't say. Just really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, we'll keep going here, and I'll go to you first with this next one. MSK, who they are just in love with. And it's weird because it's like, you know, LA Knight comes over from Impact, and they just shit all over him. Zoe Stark, they're pushing. I don't understand why some people who are emigrating from Impact over to here.
Zoe
they
Stark's
push.
An Australian. She's an Australian soap opera.
Oh, well, there
actress,
we
and
go.
We know that they want to get into Australia now.
That's right.
So they're, it all comes together.
Big Australian push. Anyway, I don't understand what's happening behind. Like, I can't figure out the psychology, like how they're thinking about some of these guys, because MSK got all, you know, they just won the Crockett Cup. the Sippy Cup, and then because one of the guys, Simon Birch or Danny Birch and what's his nuts, one of them got injured, so they had to drop the titles. Now they put the titles on these guys in this match, and this was fine. You know, look, MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, and Legado del Fantasma are all competent and hard hitting, and this was a halfway decent triple threat. Video game spam move wrestling match. It's not really my favorite kind of style, and I was sort of checked out. But I get the sense that like they just are in love with MSK, and this was a big moment for MSK, and they look like stars here. They're smaller guys, but they're super gymnasts, and they look like, you know, and the Grizzled Young Veteran guys actually look like wrestlers. The Legado del Fantasma guys look like wrestlers, and they beat the shit out of them, and they persevered and won with their ping pong video game wrestling style. I want to see MSK versus the Young Bucks in a Rubber Room match and just watch them bounce all over the place until, you know, Kinetic Energy finally dissolves and goes away. And they just fall flat. Shin, MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, Legado del Fantasma. Go.
Well, I hear that MSK stands for Must See Kids, which is patently false because I fell asleep during this match. And this was the end of my takeover night one.
Perfect. Good one to call on you for first, huh? You had a lot of insight.
Mm-hmm. Get me out of the way.
Yeah. Bailey.
18 stars.
In the Tokyo Dome.
No, anywhere.
Okay. Bailey, for the love of God.
400 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
So this was...
18 pots of gold.
Okay. So they're still trying to tell this story of of these underdog kids who are coming up through the ranks. They're they're taking on all comers, and they are they are the highest of the high flyers. They are literally the must see kids, and I mean they beat the Grizzled Young Veterans here via pinfall to win the vacant tag titles. And I mean I thought this match, probably one of the most high-flying matches that you are ever going to see. I mean, some of these spots, not only were they innovative, I mean, they were just downright crazy when you think about the work that it was just to piece this thing together. I mean, this was a gymnastics display. This was really, really something. If you are a fan of high-flying, choreographed lucha, actually, I wouldn't even call it lucha. It's probably a step above lucha because, I mean, a lot of lucha is wrestling mat based, and but this was in the air more than it was on the mat. And I mean, wow, some of these over the top rope flips that MSK was pulling off here. I think that these guys are main roster material, and I am not usually a flippity do guy because I really criticize that hard over on AEW, but for some reason I was all in on this, Mark. I just love the shit out of it, and I don't know what it is. I think that I should be pissed off and want to dislike MSK, but every single time that that they're on my screen, I'm captivated, and that's really strange for me. It goes against everything that I believe in. And let me tell you, they had some really, really great dark dance partners here with Legado del Fantasma and the Grizzled Young Veterans, because they are good hands, and they really made these kids look really good. So congratulations, you know, and brand new tag team champions here with MSK. And man, what a just what a win. They hit this twisting blockbuster move to score the pin, and I'm just blown away by some of the innovation here. And I don't know, I can't say high enough marks about this. If you're into flippity doos, this is your 10 out of 10 right here, right on the money.
You know, my thing about this match is I can do one of these, and that's the thing. Like,
yeah,
there were the thing about NXT when it's good, when it's great, when it's successful, is that they can mix up different styles of matches. My big complaint about the WWE main roster, and Chris says it all the time, it's hospital food. It is, you know, it is widgets on a line, everything's the same. Occasionally they do something that's a little bit different, a little bit weird, and we'll talk about this at length tomorrow. But, you know, NXT kind of says, okay, this is our high flyer, this is going to be our catch-as-catch-can, this one's going to be, you know, strong style, slapping meat. You know, it's just, you know, this is going to be our weirdo, there's going to be ghosts and goblins in it. Like, there's something, they really do capture, there's something in it for everybody, which is the thing that we like about wrestling over the decades we've been watching this, is we like the variety of styles and, you know, the variety feel. And I have to say, NXT TakeOver taken as a whole, I really, I'm kind of fast-forwarding to last words here, but it doesn't matter. I like the event as a whole, because it was such a mix of different kinds of matches. So I can do this once, like a night. You know, one flippity-doo, Young Buck style, bouncing all over the place, high and flying gymnastics. For the, you know, for the novelty of it all, I can do it once. It's when it's every match on the card is where, and that's our big complaint about AEW, yeah. When it's every match, that's the problem. So one of these with MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, and Legado del Fantasma was just fine. All right, let me tell you something, Chris Bailey. Raquel Gonzalez might be the only person they've actually like taken from utter obscurity and made into a star in years. Like, somebody who didn't have a name, someone no one's ever heard of. They started her up as a goon, and then she broke out and became a heavy, you know, and a threat. And they pushed her. She, even if she lost, she still looked good, and she just rose, and then she beat the unbeatable champion, and boom, we've made a star. I don't know why they can't do this more often or with more people, but they did it with her, and so I don't want to complain. Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai was the shit, okay? It was the tits. It was amazing. I loved it. Chris Sheehan slept through it. Go back and watch. Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai, one of the better matches of the weekend. I would say it was probably one of the better matches, definitely, than most of what was on WrestleMania.
It was better than Night 2 total.
Yeah.
Of WrestleMania.
Better than Night 2 WrestleMania, for sure. Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai, they kicked the shit out of each other. Like, they wrestled hard. I mean, it wasn't quite Walter Ciampa, but it was, you know, it was up there. And Raquel Gonzalez looks like a million bucks. Like, I didn't give a shit about Raquel Gonzalez when she showed up with Dakota Kai. And now I look at her and I'm like, wow, you have... I mean, when you can win over a cynic like me, who tends to crap on a lot of things and, you know, like, nope, that's terrible. Stop. You know, don't believe the hype. I think you've really done something, and Raquel Gonzalez looked great, and Io Shirai was there for all of it. Io Shirai is one of my favorite wrestlers right now, and I didn't mind seeing her get beat, because she was there for all of Raquel Gonzalez's offense. They put on a great match. This was about 12 minutes 56 seconds. It was about as long as it needed to be, and Raquel Gonzalez just looks amazing, Bailey.
Yeah, man, and not only that, just the final moments of this one. I mean, they were driving home that this was a statement win for Gonzalez. I mean, she literally took the head clean off of Io Shirai with this massive ass lariat before just driving her home with her finisher, that chokeslam thing, man. And this was a statement win, and this was designed to build and create a superstar. And, I mean, listen, No, we didn't need another Io Shirai Rin. We get it. She's a fantastic wrestler, and she's definitely had one of the better runs of any of the women in NXT. But it was time to take that belt off, and man, I have no complaints about Gonzalez winning this one. And I think we've made a star here tonight, and rightfully so, which baffles me why LA Knight is still not winning when they know the formula. The formula is build somebody up, keep them strong even in losses, which they don't do with LA Knight. They make him look like a buffoon. You keep them strong all the way up despite, you know, winning and, you know, dropping those women's tag team titles and a few shenanigans that happened along the way. But nobody ever doubted that Raquel Gonzalez didn't deserve that title shot. She deserved the shot. She looked great in the ring. I mean, everything she delivered was powerful. She had, you know, she was able to do all the moves. It wasn't just, you know, this big lumbering fool who, you know, can't lift or do a clothesline properly. She was all in. She's well trained, and man, she put Io Shirai to sleep. And yep. I loved it.
They needed somebody to replace Rhea Ripley since she was going to the main roster, and they found her in Raquel Gonzalez. And that was the whole point of that feud, was sort of transfer, you know, all of that Rhea Ripley-ness to Raquel Gonzalez. And I hope she's champion for a while. I hope they don't, like, beat her Tuesday night. you're done now.
I'll ask you a question, and you can elaborate it on it tomorrow. Who had the better night? Was it Raquel Gonzalez or Rhea Ripley?
There were three women's matches to compare and contrast. You know, it was this one, and then you had Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, and then Asuka and Rhea Ripley. And for me, the order of great to fine was Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Asuka, Rhea Ripley. None of them had bad matches. They really didn't. They were all great. But Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks was superior. Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai was great. And Asuka versus Rhea Ripley was just fine.
Sloppy.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a time out to pay some bills. And let me tell you about Grammarly. Grammarly is offering a free download of the Grammarly software. Its AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M network to download Grammarly for free. And that, of course, brings us to night two. All right, Chris Bailey. I got wise to the peacock. I got on the cock on the right time. And I actually watched. when it was time for cock, I was there for it, okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I knew that about you. I just assumed.
So I got to see the pre-show match, the kickoff match, which was Killian Dane and the diminutive Drake Maverick beating Breezango to win a future tag team title match. And this was less than 10 minutes. Yeah, it was fine. Like, they're doing the big guy, little guy thing with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Where, like, Killian Dane just basically uses Drake Maverick as a weapon and bludgeons people with him. And considering what's Drake Maverick going to do? I mean, I guess he's a good dude, and they like him, and they, like, you know, when they had that rash of firings, they held on to him, you know, because I guess they figured, like, okay, well, because you're so small and you have such a good attitude, you have a look. We'll do something with you, and it'll be awful and embarrassing and horrible, but you're going to get a really nice paycheck out of it, and you'll get to say you're on the WWE roster. Terrific. Killian Dane is like a big super monster, and I don't quite understand why they can't figure out what to do with him. But I guess this is okay, and I don't give a shit about Breezango. So I was happy to see them beat, and I was happy to see them beat in less than 10 minutes. You didn't see it, so let's move on. So I had to explain this to my son, that there were two cruiserweight champions, and the reason why there were two cruiserweight champions was because the one guy who was cruiserweight champion couldn't leave the UK because of COVID. So they were like, "Welp, we just don't want to leave the belt there, so we'll make a new one." And that's where they came up with the Legado del Fantasma thing, and made, you know, they were luchadors kidnapping people, and it turns out it was It was Baron Zemo all along. Santo Escobar. Terrific. So he's been the unstoppable. I mean, and I guess this is the reason why they left the title on him for 800 years. Because they knew at some point they were going to have him and Jordan Devlin do the Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match. And that's fine. I was there for it. I was waiting for it. I wanted to see a unified Cruiserweight champion. I thought they would make it Jordan Devlin, since they would be giving him a big push, and now he can travel, and the world is starting to open up. But no, we decided that in about 20 minutes, it had to be Santos Escobar still. The unstoppable killer Cruiserweight. Okay, then. Bailey?
Yeah, this was, man, I Jordan Devlin seems like
he can't buy
not
a
really,
win.
Not really sure. I'm not into Escobar whatsoever. I don't like. Yeah. I don't enjoy that gimmick. I don't enjoy the faction. I think he's been pushed way too much on TV. And you got Jordan Devlin and a confusing feud here, where you know one guy really didn't drop the belt, and you know now they're going to decide who the real champion is. And I mean, they had a ladder match, but it's two people that I really don't care for, and it really impacted my view of this match, because mm-hmm. a lot of people might say, oh, one of the better matches of the show, but when you don't have that heat and reason for being, I think it really hurts. And you had a really cool finish where you had that drop off the ladder, and he broke another ladder in half as he was fighting his way through, and I mean, a series of spots, but not much else, Mark. Not a lot of content in here for a high-flying ladder match.
I don't understand how they missed the opportunity to tell a story of a 3-on-1 beatdown of a guy where the goons are holding him back, and he's like, how could he possibly persevere through three guys beating on him, you know, and on the two goons holding him back while the kingly champion reclaims his belt and all of that, like. There's the story. Jordan Devlin fighting through three guys to climb the ladder and reclaim the unified, undisputed Cruiserweight champion. The goons beat him up for a little bit and then fucked off because I guess they had a train to catch. And then yep. He just wins. And it's like, as Santo Escobar just wins. And it's like, why didn't you just have Jordan Devlin blow him in the middle of the ring? It would have been quicker and more entertaining.
Yeah, we got nothing to say to that one.
Well, I mean, if you're into that, I guess.
But Bailey's like side-eyeing, like, ugh, why this podcast? But I mean, they shittle over Jordan Devlin for no good reason is the point that I'm trying to make.
Wasn't he a sex pervert?
He'd be gone if he were a sex pervert.
Oh, okay.
And like, again, I don't... The reason why I said it that way, when I was trying to get Bailey to laugh, I whiffed, sorry. But they created this monster super heel in Santos Escobar. Now was the time to beat him and elevate another guy, and instead you just gave the guy who always wins another win. For what? To go where? And I guess we'll find out in the near future, but it's like they just miss an opportunity to tell a really fun story, to do what who knows what. And then you're like, okay, I don't understand why we did this then in the first place. You know, because Santos Escobar needed another good win, I guess. I don't know. Bailey, anything else about this match?
Nah, man, that's enough said about this one. I mean, I'm not a Devlin fan, and I could do without any more of them.
Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, who are your women's NXT Tag Team Champions, defeated The Way, Candice LeRae, and Indi Hartwell. It looked like Indi Hartwell knew her way to the ring, by the way, Chris. I know that was a concern of yours.
I was worried. I was very worried. Well, she did have a partner, so I mean, that could be could be helpful.
I didn't realize how big Indi Hartwell was. Like, she's a tall drink of
she's
water.
She's 18 feet tall.
Yeah. Especially compared to these three.
Dollar store, yeah.
In any case, this was 10 minutes and 30 seconds, and the positive thing I can say about this is they all have very colorful hair. It's very wonderful, colorful hair. It's amazing technicolor hair. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart look like, you know, a fun group of gals on a tank. Nobody seemed to trip over themselves in this one. No one seemed to create any egregious offenses in wrestling. This was just, you know, another good win for Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, and a reason to get Candice LeRae, who apparently they're super into and want to see get lots of television time, her and her husband. And Indy Hartwell was there. And again, she was inoffensive, didn't seem to trip over herself, and no one seemed to get injured. So it was fine, Bailey. It was just fine.
I am not a fan of the way. So, I mean, it's just Indy Hartwell is, and I know Chris Sheehan criticizes her, but I mean, there's a good reason to criticize the girl. She's sloppy as fuck. She's all over the place. Candice LeRae, I'm not into the gimmick itself. And it's a shame because I know they're trying to push the death out of this thing and they're trying to be the cool, hip faction, but it doesn't, is it me or is this just not playing out like that?
It's too nerdy what are you to thinking? Be a cool faction.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do anything with them. Austin Theory doesn't do anything to help Johnny Gargano. Indy Hartwell does stuff to help Candice LeRae, but she was involved in the tag team match as a wrestler this time, so she couldn't be, you know, a goon heater on the outside to do stuff. But, I mean, Austin Theory is utterly wasted in this.
Oh, my God. Well, especially when you consider where he came from. He came from Evolve, and I mean, he had a really, really respectful career going. Like, he was going to be the top of the Evolve candidates to be brought over, and they stick him in this gimmick role where he's running away from, you know, Dexter Lumis, who abducted him in a white van, and all kinds of weird shit going on. I don't know, man. It's just, I can't wait for this to be over and this faction broken up. That's all I can say.
Okay. Speaking of the way, Johnny Gargano with said Austin Theory defeated Thick Boy Bronson Reed. This was 16 minutes 23 seconds. Probably didn't need to go that long, but that's the Johnny Gargano thing, isn't it? Super long average matches. You would think that this would be kind of a, you know, smaller guy versus King Kong Bundy type thing, where Bronson Reed uses his size and strength to overwhelm the smaller Johnny Gargano, and Johnny Gargano has to rely on his speed and technique to eke out a victory over a guy, over a monster that they've been pushing. But they just kind of had a match. This was your typical average Johnny Gargano match. Bronson Reed didn't look special. Bronson Reed's size and look was not utilized in any kind of way. He was just sort of there. And they told a halfway decent wrestling story. I mean, it was fine. It hit all the check marks, but it was just kind of there. And I think, you know, kind of like what Chris said, when you're not really into the wrestlers in the match, it takes away from the match itself. But just sort of judging it purely on what two wrestlers did in a wrestling ring, it was average. Bailey?
You had Bronson Reed, who, I mean, does anyone really consider him a threat? Does anyone ever think that he's really going to truly win a title? And I think the answer to that is no. And I mean, I know they're trying to put him over strong. They had him go over in this in that big, you know, six-man match there on the last night. And even headed into here, he doesn't have the look. He's got a very basic skill set, and I don't see any future whatsoever. And I think this was if I could criticize this match, or not criticize it, but praise it, was that it's the right finish. I think we had a lot of impactful moves. I think that Bronson Reed created a lot more movement for a guy his size. And I know we say that a lot for a guy his size, but he can truly do these moves, except for that one flip dive he tried to do over the top rope, and it just looked like a fat guy trying to do a cartwheel off the top rope or something. I don't know. It was really, really awkward. But anyway, you had the right finish. Thank God they didn't put the belt on him, and we can move on from this Bronson Reed experiment. Thank God.
All right, Mr. Sheehan. I want to hear your thoughts in a moment on Karrion Kross reclaiming the belt that was taken from him because he immediately injured his shoulder while winning the belt. Versus stand-in champion, the Prince, Finn Balor. This went almost 20 minutes, and I had high hopes for this because I've seen Karrion Kross, like in Bloodsport and whatnot, and the guy's a hitter. You know, good grappler, strong style, just big as shit. You know, he looks every bit like the wrestlers I grew up watching, and he has a great look to him, and he's a good, great wrestler. I was happy when they put the belt on him, and I was disappointed that he got injured. So I was looking forward to this match because I thought, okay, you know, as much as there's such a huge size difference between Karrion Kross and Finn Balor, Finn Balor's good, and I think he'll put over Karrion Kross strong. I'm like, this is either going to be really short and Karrion Kross is just going to run through Finn Balor, or it's going to be long, but Finn Balor is going to make Cross look like $1 million. Neither one of those things happened.
Nope.
They had a fine enough match. That's kind of what I said about Gargano and Bronson. It's like they don't seem to play at all with their size or their natural abilities. They just do moves in a wrestling match. It was, here's a list of moves we can do. We'll do them to each other, and when time runs out, I'll win. Okay? So this wasn't takeover quality. This was NXT Wednesday Night War average quality. It was okay.
Agreed.
What did you think?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, okay. I basically echo everything you say here. I was going to say that this should have been a statement win, kind of like when Cross went over Ciampa back several months back.
Yeah.
This was not that. This was a far too even of a match. I don't know what they have planned for Balor here. Is he staying on NXT? Because it feels like what's left for him to do.
Does he have a home on the main roster anymore?
That's, I don't even concern. Know that. Yeah. I mean, they invested so much into him with him being the first Universal Champion and everything, but then it's just like, okay, dude, we have nothing else for you. We gave you the accolade. Yeah. Now fuck off to AEW or something. It's,
yeah, but for the reason why he's one of these guys who every time you set him up, he goes, oh, Vince, I can't continue. I got injured again on my last show.
I need to get a Lego tattooed on my arm. Yeah. A Lego dinosaur tattooed on my back of my elbow.
Well, that's what happened to him. Is they gave him the ball and he immediately got injured. So
well, he got injured during the match. Yeah, yeah. When Rollins buckle bombed him into the dasher board. But I'm not a fan of Balor really. He kind of bores me. Cross, this should have been more of a statement victory. It was not. I feel like he eked it out. Of course, he had control at the end of the match here, and he did that like nice knockout blow to the back of Balor's skull there. But I wanted this to be a quicker victory. I wanted this to be. I mean, you have a guy who says, "I never lost this belt." It stands to reason that he just comes in, destroys whoever has it, and is like, "See, I told you." Right. And instead, he had a very, very even match and eked out a win. So I don't think this helped either guy. It didn't help the title, and it just bought some time.
Bailey?
Yeah, so, I mean, Karrion Kross has everything, and he's really, really, I mean, I think that they put him over strong getting to this match. I think the build has been done properly. I mean, you had, you know, your classic scenario where you put your guys in a tag team and they kick the shit out of each other, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the basic structure was there to develop this feud. And I think that Balor stays on the roster for the simple fact that they gave him so much, you know, put so much steam behind him in this one. But I think if you're building a star and you're creating Karrion Kross, you should go with the way he won the match, the belt originally, which was a complete demolition, you know what I mean, of Tommaso Ciampa. And we didn't get that here, and it was a real shame. And they were stuck in one gear under the, you know, full out. I mean, they were, I wouldn't say half-assing it, but they just didn't move to, you know, the what you would expect to be one of the main events on a pay-per-view so important. And, I mean, this was what I would consider what should have been the last match on the card. And because, I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But, I mean, he's got everything. He's got all the pieces. He's got a vicious attitude. He's got a very strong style. He's got Scarlett. He's got the awesome entrance. He's got all the pieces to make a superstar and a great NXT champion. But in the ring, this just didn't deliver what it should have. And I don't know if it was Balor or what, but... And, I mean, I care about these two. So when you consider when we talked about Bronson Reed and, you know, Johnny Gargano, who I don't care for either one of those guys, I care totally for both of these guys, and they just didn't get to that next level, and it's a real shame. And I don't think it did anything to further Karrion, unfortunately. So we got what we got. I was okay with the match. Let's be fair. It was not a bad match whatsoever, but there just wasn't enough in there to put it over the top to make it one of the best of the weekend. Because, I mean, I think we, you know, we just got past Walter and Ciampa, and this was not just downhill from there, unfortunately.
And that brings, speaking of downhill from there, and that brings us to our main event of the entire evening, the Lights Out Unsanctioned match. And we just did
the
this.
Death. With, The final death of the Canadian Destroyer, we'll call this match.
We just did one of these with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, and before that was the exploding barbed wire match with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, and before that was the unsanctioned lights out match with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. So and not only that, but you had the long running Johnny Gargano Ciampa feud where they destroyed the ring and each other. You had Cole and Johnny Gargano, you know, do the suicide jump together. I mean, there have been some matches in the past couple of years where people messed each other up and destroyed the ringside area. And I was hoping for that with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Kyle O'Reilly, kind of like Raquel Gonzalez, is not somebody I really gave a shit about. I didn't follow him in Ring of Honor when he was doing the Red Dragon thing. And he was a goon in the Undisputed Attitude. You know, everyone was there to sort of back up Cole. Now he's sort of come out of that, and I still didn't care. I mentioned that when he had the match with Finn Balor, but because of that match with Finn Balor and the subsequent matches after, he's coming to his own. He's showing character. I like, you know, him kind of playing air guitar and headbanging as he walks out. I'm into that. Like, I'm into Kyle O'Reilly now. And I like Adam Cole. I have since he showed up in, you know, and became, you know, the leader of the Undisputed Attitude. And I was really wanting to see, like, a blood feud between these guys. I wanted to see them mess each other up. And I wanted it to be better than the Johnny Gargano Ciampa destroy everything and everyone matches.
Yeah.
In isolation, for a blood feud, lights out, unsanctioned match, it was okay. It hit a, you know, it hit the pitches the way that it should have. They played the notes. They did some pretty destructive bumps. But when you take it in comparison to everything else we've seen over the past couple of years, and even if you take the AEW stuff out of there, because it's kind of an apples oranges comparisons, there's only so much you can do with WWE and their PG environment, and AEW, you can shoot somebody in the ring. They'll kick out of it, but you can shoot them.
Then do a flippity-doo off the top rope on you after getting shot.
Yep.
Get a two count.
5 stars, Dave Meltzer. But just comparing it to other NXT stuff, I didn't think this delivered. I thought it was okay. I was entertained. And I think by itself, if I've never seen another match like this, I think they did an adequate job. But compared to its predecessors, it lacked. Sheehan?
Well, this is the Cole problem here, where every match has to be this epic 4-hour thing. This didn't need to be as long as it was, because it's like, how much more can you friggin' do? This was a garbage match. You're not supposed to be bored during a garbage match, but the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, when is this going to end here? And this is like this is the NXT formula that was passed down from Gargano to Cole now. Ridiculous. The bumps they did here, and I was watching, you know, you have, and I think I commented on this in the chat here, you have, what's his face? O'Reilly has Cole in a guillotine. They're on the ramp. So to get out of the guillotine, Cole DDTs himself through the ramp. Like, he goes head first through the fucking ramp. This wasn't Taz Bam Bam Bigelow, because that was just a back bump. This was a top of the head bump through the ground. And then he gets up. I mean, no psychology at all. I have, like, no investment in this feud, because I really don't understand it. It's like, okay, Cole turned on the group. Automatically a blood feud? I could give a shit.
Okay, I don't think that's fair. I mean,
how's that?
Cole, here. I'm gonna put an argument to you, and then you can counter. Cole put together this group to stand around him like he's Ric Flair, but he wanted to be the head of the group, and he wanted the titles, and he wanted to be the star. And then Kyle O'Reilly got too big for his britches, and Cole didn't like it, so he kicked him in the face. And Kyle O'Reilly was like, "I thought we were friends. I thought we were all equals. I thought," because they've said this is stuff they've said. Like, if you've been watching, they talked about the Undisputed Attitude. We're not just a group. We're not just standing around Cole like he's Ric Flair. We're all buddies here, and we're here to help each other. But secretly, Cole was like, "No, I'm the guy. You're all goons." And when Kyle O'Reilly, believing what they had all said, was like, "Yeah, now it's my turn. you know, and we're all going to stand around me. Cole's like, no, I'm not sharing the spotlight. I'm not sharing leadership. I'm not sharing titles. I'm not sharing anything. Fuck you. And kicked him in the face, and Kyle O'Reilly's feelings got hurt. And it's like, well, you'll have to die now. And that was the end of that.
But straight to the unsanctioned lights out, destroy the building match?
Yeah. I guess I see what you're saying. Like, they probably needed a step in between.
You have O'Reilly. He's like, I am as good, if not better than you. Let me prove it by hitting you with a chain. No. How about I prove it in the ring in a regular match? Let me show you that I deserve to have this push. I was your goon. You think you're better than me. I can prove to you that you're not. But no, we skipped that because it's WrestleMania week and we need to have a garbage match that takes up 17 hours of this fucking show. And we're going to destroy the entire Capitol Wrestling Center and go through floors and bring out chains and the Greco-Roman table shots. I mean, all this stupid shit. I wasn't buying the hype of the feud did not get here yet, is what I'm trying to say here. Okay. I'm fine with them having a match. I think they should have had a match. But this was not the match they should have had. And if this was the match that they should have had, it should not have gone 45 minutes.
No.
Yep. No, I agree. And now that I hear your full argument, like, I actually agree with you. I think they got to this point too soon. But here's what I'll tell you. I think they didn't know if they were going to have a takeover, and this got thrown together, and it feels it. I think this two-night show got thrown together very quickly, and again, they usually only go one night, and they were like, oh, but Peacock. Well, now they got to somehow make two shows out of the one show they might have been building.
They had a month worth of shows. I mean, we've had WWE pay-per-views that are like, hey, guys, we just found out the network's going to have a new pay-per-view next week, and they put together a card. Here we had a month, 8 hours worth of television that they could have built this with, and they skipped over so many levels of it. And I get why they did it, because it is a spectacle weekend here, and we always complain that they rehash matches over and over again. So they couldn't have the pure wrestling match on the television show 2 weeks ago, because we'd be like, fuck again. But I feel like this was this didn't do any favors for anybody. It was a disservice, and it doesn't prove anything. It just proves that Kyle O'Reilly can wrap a chain around his leg and knock a guy out. Which, I mean, I could do that. You could do that. My dog could do that. It's not proving anything. It's not proving that he's an equal or better than Cole. It's just the boom boom spectacle.
All right, Bailey. I'm trying to look through like what if anything I said to you guys about it on Twitter. And apparently, my only comment about this was the beginning when they did the Tyson Lewis thing with the guards between them as they stood on either side of the ring. And I'm like, okay. And which makes your point even more valid. Like, we need Tyson. Mike Tyson swore he was going to eat Lennox Lewis's children. And that's why they needed security. There had already been one riot. You know, maybe that's what they needed here. We needed to, you know, to have a handful of incidents where things got violently out of control. And I think they maybe kind of did it kind of sort of once. So point taken, Sheen. Point taken. Bailey?
So if you watch NXT week to week, this feud really, really got under my skin, because it was the same thing. Every time you saw Kyle O'Reilly in that ring, you knew that Adam Cole was going to try to attack him, whether it was in the back, whether it was on the street, in the parking lot, in catering. You knew that it was coming, and it was the same stuff over and over and over and over again. Now, you take a look. This is night two. So we have already seen in the past, you know, in the past couple of nights, this kick out, this type of hardcore, you know, all this stuff we had already seen, but over the course of two nights. So by the time we finally got here, I didn't want to see it anymore. This feud is not good enough to keep my attention. I mean, yeah, the Undisputed Era, I mean, you know, fantastic little group. They had their run, and now they sort of broken them off. I mean, you think about it. Bobby Fish, has been injured more than he's been healthy. So he's basically not even been a part. You got Roderick Strong, who's now going around. He doesn't even mention that he was in the Undisputed Era. He's so far gone away from the group. So you got two guys left. Yeah, literally. He's got his little white hoodie back, and he's doing his thing, and you'd never know he was a part of Undisputed Era. So it seems like they've rushed this feud. They don't have a satisfactory ending to this group. And then we get here, and they go right to this garbage match. And, I mean, it ends with, like, a chain across the leg, and, I mean, poor somebody should have showed Kyle O'Reilly how to wrap a chain around your leg, man, because that thing was falling off. He kept having to adjust it over and over and over. And there were spots, like, going down through the ramp. You didn't need that. You didn't need it. These guys didn't need it. And you had, like, the crappy Canadian Destroyer on the outside. And just...
Yeah, I did mention just, that. Like, can we be done with the Canadian fucking Destroyer already?
Yeah. Well, this one killed it. This was the end of it. And then Bad Bunny kicked dirt all over it. Because then he did it at WrestleMania. And I was like, okay, so a rapper who has zero talent in the ring now does the Canadian Destroyer. This move is officially dead and buried. We don't need to see it anymore. Time to put that one on the shelf. But I think it's just I'm over the feud. I want this to be the end of it. You know what? We've elevated Kyle O'Reilly now. He's got a signature win. Move Adam Cole to the main roster or, on SmackDown, jobbing to Shorty G like we know what's going to happen. And move on. Because that's where he's going to end up. He's going to debut on SmackDown. He's going to, be the arrogant heel. He's going to feud with, Shorty G and whoever else is on the roster, and that's about it.
Or they'll just bring them up as the Undisputed Era and forget that this all happened.
And that's quite possible. Why not? Because I'd rather forget that this didn't happen. Because what a poor way to end night two. They should have had it with Karrion Kross, even though we didn't like that. We weren't raving about the match, but that would have been a more appropriate ending. At least you would have had a title match, a title chain. It felt significant. But instead, we had this, which just left bad taste in my mouth of a falling chain and an ending that didn't matter. So,
isn't that the way it works? Sad, the main roster is Earth 2. The NXT is Earth 1. WWE main roster is Earth 2. So when they cross over, it's a, it's a whole new universe.
Saudi Arabia is Earth 3.
That's right.
That's where Mansoor is Superman.
Here's my final thought.
I live in Bizarro.
Here's my final thoughts, and because I know Chris has to go soon, I'm just going to be really, really brief about this. This was one good show stretched interminably over two shows and made less good for it. Cut 12 down to 6, put some of these back on NXT go-home show, and NXT TakeOver is solid. Also, a couple of tweaks, and this would have been better. There's just a lot of... There was a lot of just checking the boxes, we did it, and not a whole lot of drama and reason and gravitas behind it. And that's disappointing because the other shows previously had those things. And this one didn't, I think had it only been 6 matches, I probably would have tolerated that more, but having to sit through, 4-5 hours of this over 2 nights, by the end of it, I was like, there was one good show out of these 2 nights here, not 2 good shows. But overall, I still love the NXT product, and I'll continue to watch it. Looking forward to their move to Tuesday nights, and we'll see which, we'll come back whenever the next takeover is. I could also very much appreciate them not doing any more special events, the NXT Halloween Havoc. Please stop doing that. I can't. It's bad enough AEW does it. Just stick to takeovers, okay? Stick to takeovers. Sheehan, your final thoughts.
I basically echo everything you say here. I only saw half the show, so and even I thought that was a little too much. This was definitely a bloated event here. An attempt to get, when they start doing the 6-man things here, it's an attempt to get as many people on the card as possible. And you can really start to see the seams in how shallow this roster is, despite the fact that there are a lot of people on it. Folks at a level that people are willing to pay to see, it's quite shallow. they need some major restructuring. Hopefully post-WrestleMania and their move to Tuesday will be an opportunity for them to restructure a little bit, maybe refocus and, you know, not do full Russo reboot or anything, but maybe just set some new stories up here. Let some of these feuds end, which, I mean, they never do, but make some of these feuds end. And move some people on, make some shuffles here, maybe move some guys up, move some girls up to the main roster, maybe move some folks down to NXT, and just call it good. They definitely need to regain their focus here, because this is, you know, this. Sometimes I say it's not like throwing the spaghetti against the wall, it's like throwing the entire pot of spaghetti against the wall to see what'll stick, and not everything sticks, unfortunately.
Just to add on to that, I'd like to see Finn Balor go to SmackDown and have him feud with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Honestly, what's next for him? That, because I don't know what else there could possibly
be. There's nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah. Bayley,
take
me home.
They're not going to have him go for the U.S. title or the, what is it, the North American title, right?
I mean, right. Maybe he'll go for the Cruiserweight title. Bayley, take me home, baby doll.
Oh, boy. So, like you said, way too many matches over the course of two nights. But one good thing about it was it's the final statement for their Wednesday night experiment. And they handed AEW their ass. So, you know what? Successful. You talk about a success. So, because, I mean, they really put the screws to them, made a statement on the way out of Wednesday. And now they can, you know, keep their head held high and say, hey, we didn't leave because we were getting our ass handed to us. We just left because of a contractual obligation, and we left on a high. So, you know what? We put them to bed, middle finger in the air, and walked away from Wednesday night, and now they're going to Tuesday. So, good on NXT. So, the two-night thing actually served its purpose, but, man, there was a lot of down on these two nights. But I tell you what, we did get some great matches in there. So, I mean, you know, we elevated Raquel Gonzalez. I mean, what a match there. We got a brand new heavyweight champion in Karrion Kross. And we got MSK crowned as the tag team champion. So, you know what? History was made, and we can look back at this. And we got our moment, Chris. We got Io Shirai standing on top of the giant skull and doing this massive Ricky Steamboat-style dive to, you know, always enter the highlight reel forever and the day. So, overall, you know what? I'm okay with it. I didn't hate both shows. I think there was a lot of stuff you could have cribbed and put it as one particular night. But overall, I was okay with it, man. It was a fun night of wrestling. It got me primed for WrestleMania. I'm just thankful that Titus and Hogan didn't host this thing. That's all I'll say.
One last thing before we go to plugs. I'd be curious to see, and I don't know if they'll ever release the data, but. And this is just, you know, I'm a nerd about this sort of thing, but I would be curious to see how much Peacock's usage and viewership increased from NXT through WrestleMania compared to 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I bet you it was massive.
I mean, probably. They paid a lot of money for this, so it better have. And that's what I'm curious about, like, what, you know, did they feel like they got their money's worth? Because and the reason why I'm bringing that up is the two-night events were done in... WrestleMania done over two nights was simply because they couldn't get maximum amount of people in Raymond James Stadium all at once. We're still... Mm-hmm. We're in kind of part three of the pandemic here, where life is returning to normal, but we're still having to social distance. And some people haven't gotten vaccinated. There's all kinds of issues going on right now to where it's not 100% back to normal again. So that's why that's two nights, and why next year, God willing, right now it's one night. Hopefully they don't change it. If they change it, I'm going to have to cancel my plans because I'm not doing two nights of WrestleMania. But they absolutely had to spread the maximum capacity of Raymond James Stadium to two nights in order to have it, which I think they did. I think they were successful in that as opposed to one night.
Yeah.
So that made sense. Two nights of NXT was to sell people on Peacock. It absolutely was a marketing thing for Peacock. I think it made NXT suffer for it. I don't think they rose to the challenge, as we said before. But that's what it was there for. Had Peacock not been a thing, had this been a regular WWE Network week, you know, with their programming, it would have been one night of TakeOver, and that would have been it. So, all right. Unless there's a major disagreement with that, let's go ahead and do plugs tomorrow. We are continuing our WrestleMania coverage with WrestleMania 37 both nights, and we'll mention the Hall of Fame. Wednesday night, Pat and I are starting a new show called The Mania of WrestleMania, and we're starting with WrestleMania 1, which I just watched this morning. And then to close out Wrestling Week, myself and Sean Comer are doing an on-trial for the Hulk Hogan Classic, No Holds Barred. In addition to that, myself and Alexis Hanna tonight are doing a source material on the very first miniseries for Resident Alien that the TV show is based on, Welcome to Earth. And then tomorrow night, Tuesday, we'll do a TV party for the first season of Resident Alien on the Sci-Fi Network. Chris Sheehan, go ahead and do your plugs.
Okie dokie. You could find shows like X-Lapsed and the X-Lapsed family of shows at chrisandreggie.podbean.com, available on all your aggregation of noise things. You can also find a blog post over at chrisisoninfiniteearths.com, where I just had a milestone just yesterday, broke 1 million views or visits or whatever the hell it is. So for the dozens of you who actually did come to the site that aren't bots or people who can't spell the word crisis, I humbly thank you for your patronage. I was just on the Long Box Crusades doing it live stream yesterday. You could find that on YouTube. We talked for a couple hours about just different stuff. Had a real good time there. And you could find me on Twitter at Ace Comics.
Before Chris Bailey does his plugs and takes us home, I want to talk to Chris Bailey, especially about AmazonMusic.com. We're currently, if you use our link, giving away a free 30 days of Amazon Music. Isn't that amazing, Chris Bailey?
That is fantastic. And even though I'm in the wind now, I will say that I wish I was in my vehicle listening to Amazon Music right now, because I'd be listening to Guns N' Roses' Greatest Hits.
You could, right now it sounds like you could be listening to Winds of Change, considering you seem like you're in sort of a windstorm. You remember Winds of Change by the Scorpions?
Apparently the Raymond James Stadium weather has hit me as well right now as we speak.
Yes, the storm that was over Raymond James causing a 30-minute rain delay has now gone fucked off and gone all the way to wherever the hell you live in Canada. New Zealand, Canada, is that right?
Oh,
Newfoundland.
New Zealand.
That's
Stop.
The one.
Shut your mouth.
I'm sorry. All right, now that I've gotten that out of the way, get amazonmusic.com/W2M Network to get your free 30 days of music. Bailey, for the love of God, do your plugs and take me home.
Brother, we are in the middle of a storm here. Yeah, so listen, if you want to hear more of me, you can hear me right here tomorrow as we dive into WrestleMania Hall of Fame and all that fun stuff. But if you really like to engage me, I mean really engage me, hit me up on the Twitter, @Charlton_hero. And other than that, you can find me over on Radlichen Broadcasting Network, hanging out with Mark and Chris, and loving it. There you go. Enjoy. Have a good day.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us here on TV Party tonight in our coverage of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver and NXT UK Prelude. For the Podsmen, Chris Bailey and Chris Sheehan, and myself, Mark Radlich, be well, be safe, and behave.